Good morning.
Good morning.
I've started to give talks on koans, you know, maybe once a month. So this is another koan, and it comes from the Mumon Khan, which is a book of 48 koans. And it's the when we do koan study in this lineage, it's the first book we use. And the title of the koan is Kichu Makes Carts. I don't know if this is literally true, but Kichu supposedly created the first cart, and he became an expert in cart making. So we know some of this is going to be familiar to you. We know that at least one aspect of each koan points to our essential nature. What was your face before your mother was born? Does a dog have Buddha nature? Who are you? So Yamada Roshi, who this book is his interpretation of the koans, his translation of the koans, and regarding essential nature, he said, quote, every koan deals with our essential nature, and you must never be bewildered by the garb or trappings that appear in it. Don't lose sight of your essential nature. So there's our ordinary nature, our everyday nature, and then there's our essential nature. And some of this I've talked about before in somewhat different language, different words. But our ordinary nature is the world that we are comfortable with. This is a world of this and that. So a book is a book. A building is a building. A garden is a garden. My mother is my mother. A cart is a cart. All right, so each has its own set of characteristics and is separate from the other. It is separate from the other. And that's because, as I said, each has a set of different characteristics. So it plays out like this. My mother is not my father. Right? They're separate and they have all their own characteristics. The garden is not a street. A book is not a ladle. And a cart is not the garage. So they are separate, and they each have different definitions. And our ordinary mind is the sum of all the identities created by our mind. That's our everyday, our ordinary mind. So each koan has the case itself, and then it has a commentary, and then there's a teisho on the case. So Mumon, who compiled these koans, I think he's called Wu Men. Mumon and Wu Men, that's the Chinese for his name. But he's a famous Zen master. And so this is his presentation. So the koan itself is very brief. Master Gitan asked a monk, Kichu made 100 carts. If he took off both wheels and removed the axle, what would he make clear about the cart? Master Gitan asked the monk, Kichu made 100 carts. If he took off both the wheels and removed the axle, what would he make clear? And then his commentary is, if you realize this at once, right, if you realize this at once, your eye will be like a shooting star and your spiritual activity like catching lightning. So realize it at once, right? No thinking, just phew, there it is. And your eye will be like a shooting star and your spiritual activity like catching lightning. So, what does this mean when we remove the wheels and take off the axle? So, what is it then? Now, our ordinary mind would say that without wheels and an axle, it's not a cart. It no longer meets our definition of a cart. No axle, two wheels gone. That's not a cart. So, in this koan, however, the cart is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for our essential nature. And if we remove both wheels and axle, they, from the essential point of view, are still part of the cart. Take them across the ocean, but they're still part of that cart. From the essential nature, from that point of view, things, identities, while appearing individual and separate, are really always one. They may appear separate, but they are always one. So there is nothing separate from that cart. And the koan is telling us, do not be attached to the idea of the cart as having some particular identity. Because if we do this, we will be unable to experience its essential nature. If we are attached to the definition of a cart, doesn't mean in our everyday lives we define a cart in a particular way, and a mother in a particular way, and a father in a particular way. But if we become attached to those identities, to those definitions, we will be unable to experience our essential nature, which is oneness. There's a haiku by Basho. In Kyoto, hearing the cuckoo, I long for Kyoto. So what does that mean? He's already in Kyoto. Why is he longing for Kyoto? And what does the cuckoo have to do with that? So the in Kyoto is the everyday Kyoto. It's a Kyoto with the bustles and activity and this and that are going on. So it's the activity of our everyday life. But as we know, that activity creates separation. So skipping over the cuckoo for a minute. Hearing the sound of the cuckoo stills his mind and he becomes again reunited. So when his mind is still, he longs for Kyoto. He longs for that fundamental connection that he has to Kyoto. When he's in Kyoto and he's caught up in the busy activity, the this and that activity of his everyday life in Kyoto, he loses his touch, he loses contact, his fundamental connection to Kyoto. But the cuckoo cries, and he realizes his longing for Kyoto. And his longing is wanting to be reconnected. So the cuckoo is like so many of these direct experiences in Zen. You know, we talk about Basho, where the frog jumps into a pond and splash. In this case, I picture him walking along, and whether he knows it or not, he's longing for the true essence of Kyoto, his connection with Kyoto. And all of a sudden, he hears the sound of a cuckoo. And in that moment, he has a flash of insight. A flash of insight. It's revealed to him his separation, his having lost his sense of oneness. So in the commentary, Mumon says, if you can realize this at once, your eye will be like a shooting star and your spiritual activity like catching lightning. Issa has a haiku. Lightning flash. In the bottom of the basin, water someone forgot to throw out. It's like lightning. All of a sudden, there it is. Our eyes are open, and we realize our true nature. And many times, that realization happens in a flash, in an instant. The door opens. So how does this apply to our practice? Yamada Roshi, who this book, this set of koans, is based on his translations of them. Yamada Roshi says, so if you are working with mu, you must treat mu as the cart, mu as your essential nature. Right? The cart is nothing other than mu when we're sitting. And if you are sitting counting your breaths, the cart is nothing but counting your breaths. No fuss, nothing extra, just counting breaths. And if you are practicing shikantaza, the cart is just sitting. No story about just sitting, just sitting. Another haiku is, How beautiful the daffodils left unnamed. Right? If we take away the name, we are the daffodil. We are the cart. It's just the direct experience. How beautiful the daffodils left unnamed. Right? Just the direct experience of daffodils. So how does this koan apply to our lives? If we realize our essential nature, we discover that beneath the appearance of things, that there is unity. I am the daffodil. I am the cart. I am you. I am everything. You are you, and you are everything. So there is a you. And that you has a name, and it has an activity in life, and it has a family. But at the very same time, the essential nature, your essential nature, is that you are everything. Not limited by who you think you are. Not limited by the mind. So the realization of oneness, we can become truly intimate with everything. We become alive in ways that were unimaginable. Even the simplest, most broken things are beautiful. There's no discrimination. A teacup with a crack. A rotting car in somebody's backyard. An old man walking with a cane. When we don't discriminate, these are beautiful. Each one of them. And so when we realize oneness, I think one of the side effects is that we want to take care of everyone and everything because we are taking care of ourselves, but not the limited self, but the essential self. So, thank you.